This is my kind of town, Chicago is.
All right, Tommy Dreesen has made over 500 appearances on national television as a stand-up comedian, including more than 60 appearances on The Tonight Show. He was a favorite guest of David Letterman, and for 13 years, he toured cross-country and open for the legendary Frank Sinatra. Tom never stops working. He's one of the most charitable guys in town. He's currently appearing to rave reviews around the country in his one-man show, An Evening of Laughter and Memories of Sinatra. And in these interesting times, you can see him live via Zoom for one night only on Saturday, May 9th. Please welcome Harvey's own Tom Dreesen. Tommy, how are you, buddy?
Dave, my career is not as long as an introduction. I'm so honored. I'm humbled.
It's all good stuff. I can't tell you how much your regular posts on Facebook perk me up every single day.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear that. My passion, I'm a stand-up comedian first, last, and always. That's all I am. I always say I know how to do two things, write a joke and tell a joke. But my passion, aside from that, is motivation. Because of where I came from, growing up so poor in Harvey, Illinois, I was a high school dropout and went in the military, and I read every positive mental attitude book I could find from the old days, Norman Vincent Peale, A Power of Positive Thinking, A Guide to Confident Living, the Maxwell Maltz books, the Dale Carnegie book, you know, I read them all, and got so fascinated by the powers of the mind and the sciences of the mind and how I could apply these to my own lifestyle coming from where I came from, that I started talking to people about it and trying to motivate people. And then time went by, and I gave a little motivation speech at a school one night, and it was so much fun, I started to write motivation speeches. Then I started giving them at universities and colleges and for corporate America, and then also in prisons, believe it or not.
Wow.
So now
wow.
On my Facebook page, during these times, I like to post a 2 or 3 minute positive mental attitude thing for us to try to get through this tough time.
It feels good. No, it feels really good. But doing this on Facebook, and as we mentioned, we'll talk about the Zoom event coming up. You know, you've been doing this for 50 years. You're in clubs. You're with people every single day. You're in front of a live studio audience on television, at charity events, at nightclubs. Things are changing to the point where I'm not sure exactly if it's going to change permanently or not.
I don't think my business will ever be the same for years to come. Not, you know, and like you say, I've been doing it 50 years, so how much longer I'm going to do it, I don't know. I want to be like George Burns. I'm going to do it till I'm 100 years old.
I like that. I like that.
Let me digress from that just a second. I was appearing at Harrah's with Sammy Davis Jr. years ago in Lake Tahoe, and George Burns was appearing next door at Caesars. And I went over to see him. He was 95 years old. He didn't run out to the microphone, but when he got out there, he did an hour and 10 minutes of funny stuff. And later, I went backstage because I had done the Dean Martin roast with him and everything. I wanted to say hello to him. And he was looking at some notes. And I walked into his dressing room. I said, "Hi, George." And he looked up from his notes. He said, "Oh, hi, Tommy." He said, "I was working on some new material tonight." And he was looking at his notes. He said, "I was working on some new material tonight." I said, "That's what I want to do. I want to be 95 years old working on new material." That was such an inspiration, you know. But getting back to what you were saying, that I don't think the business will be the same, because what this COVID-19 has done, it's made the world, 185 countries right now, OCD. We're now, you know, will we ever be able to go back and sit in crowds again? Will we be able to get on a crowded airplane and feel comfortable? We'll all be wearing masks. Restaurants that relied on crowds to pay their rent, you know, they're now going to sit 6 feet apart. Comedy cannot survive. We need the audience intimate all around us. You know, in proscenium, I've worked in a round many times too, the 20,000 people opening for Frank. You need those people up close to the stage. And preferably, if you can get a low ceiling, because laughter is sound, it hits a ceiling and comes at you. So you need that intimacy to really make comedy, stand-up comedy, work.
You know, and here's one of the interesting things. You know, I know you have the Zoom event coming up, which is focused on your friendship with Frank Sinatra. But I first wanted to talk about those early days. I was watching on YouTube the other day some of your earliest appearances on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and that was the place to be. I mean, if you had half of America watching that show every single night, that was the greatest exposure ever that will never happen again.
No, and let me say this about that. I sounded like John Kennedy. Let me say this about that. The By the way, I wonder if your audience won't remember who John Kennedy was. But,
I do. Because
young kids today, the one thing I find when I do colleges anymore is the lack of knowledge of our history.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting how little they know. You don't have to leave that in here, but getting back to what you said.
Yeah.
Let me say this. In 1975, wherever you went in America, people say, what do you do for a living? You say, I'm a stand-up comedian. The next question out of their mouth was, oh, yeah, have you ever been on Johnny Carson?
Sure.
And if you hadn't been on Johnny Carson in the eyes of America, you weren't a comedian. You might want to be one or going to be one, but you weren't one now. And so that was the stamp of approval. There were a lot of other shows that put stand-up comedians on, but Johnny Carson was a show that launched you. One appearance on The Tonight Show, Freddie Prinze got a sitcom the following day. I did one appearance on The Tonight Show. I was in the unemployment line with a wife and three kids, broke on my butt. And I did The Tonight Show one night, and the next day CBS signed me to a development deal. A guy named Lee Curlin was watching from New York. Signed me, and my whole life changed. Dave, I've never stopped working since that first Tonight Show.
No.
As you said, I did 61 appearances on The Tonight Show. But 26 million people watched that show that night.
I mean, think about that. I mean, that's not even – that will never – they don't even watch a TV drama or comedy in prime time with those numbers anymore. I mean, the exposure you would have on that show – and I know comedians would get bumped all the time. And I know that was maybe – I think that was the case for you up front, too. There was a couple bumps before you finally got on. But once you were on and Johnny liked you and gave you that okay, your career was made. You're absolutely right.
If you could, here's the thing. A lot of comedians could do two or three Tonight Shows. Could you keep coming up with new and fresh material? Because Johnny would keep you coming back on, but he didn't want you to do the same routines you did before, and he didn't want two guys going to bar jokes. He wanted original monologues. And that was the hard part. Like I say, a lot of guys could do three, maybe five Tonight Shows, but to keep coming up with new material, you know, it was always the task. And that's the reason, by the way, that Sammy Davis Jr. or Frank Sinatra or Smokey Robinson, people that I toured with, why they wanted me to work with them, because they repeated the cities. You know, Frank would go to Chicago every year. He'd go to Detroit every year. He'd go to New York every year. Same with Sammy and Smokey. So they had repeat audiences. So they wanted a comedian that could keep coming up with new and original material. And that's that. And again, that's the hardest part. I love stand-up comedy. Writing comedy is a job. It's a task. It really is. You know,
you've had just so many different phases and milestones in your life. So, you know, you were first working with comedian actor Tim Reed. So that was one phase. And then Carson and all the clubs. You know, you were on Letterman. And then there was Frank Sinatra. Like, at what point did you say, you know, you finally made it after working so hard? Or was it really every step of the way you just pinched yourself?
You know, I still pinch myself to this day, because I always say about stand-up comedians, we never really make it. We never arrive. And the moment you think you've arrived, then that's the beginning of the going down. You know, you never really arrive, because each night it's a brand new audience. Each night it's a test again. You know, I'll give you a quick example. Years ago, I worked at Mr. Kelly's after the comedy team, so that you know that Tim Reed and Tom Dreesen were America's first black and white comedy team in history shows. We were the last. We wrote a book about what it was like touring the nation before there were ever comedy clubs in America. And we worked all black clubs in the North and the South and all over Chicago, the black clubs who worked in Chicago, what they affectionately called the Chitlin Circuit, black-owned, black-operated nightclubs. So we did that for 6 years, and we wrote a book, and now Netflix is talking to us about doing a miniseries, not Tim and I, but two people that play Tim and Tom. But when the team split up, and I went back to Mr. Kelly's, and I'm opening up Mr. Kelly's in those days, which is now Gibson Steakhouse.
Right.
But in those days, Mr. Kelly's was the number one club in Chicago. When you made it to Mr. Kelly's, you made the big time. And now I'm going out, and I'm afraid that all the critics, in those days they had these critics from the, Irv Kupcinet from the Sun-Times, and you had the Chicago Daily News, and you had the Chicago Herald America, and you had Chicago Tribune, you had Chicago Today. All these newspapers came to review you opening night on a Monday night, and you're sweating bullets, because you know if they give you a bad review, you know, then everybody in Chicago reads it, you know. So I went on, and I scored, and I had a great first show, and I just knocked them dead, and all the critics left, and I was in my dressing room just so at ease, and, oh, man, I did it. I went out there, and then I heard a knocking on the door. 5 minutes, Mr. Dreesen, and I thought, I got to go do it again.
Yeah.
It's a brand-new audience. I got to go do it again.
Yeah.
And so That's what you are. In my 50 years in show business, I got to do it again. Every night you go out there, so you never really arrive. However, being on the same stage with Sammy Davis Jr., with Smokey Robinson, and touring with, when Frank Sinatra said, come fly with me, and grace the same stage with me, that's, you know, and then to be able to pull it off, you know, Dave, I'll give you a quick example. It's time for you to go on. You're opening for Frank Sinatra in Nassau Memorial Coliseum or any of the huge arenas around the country, 20,000 seaters. And I said to you, Dave, there's 20,000 people out there, and you got to go in the center of them. They're in the round all around you. Mm-hmm. And you've got to hold their attention, Dave, for 45 minutes. Oh, one more thing, Dave. You got to hold their attention and make them laugh for 45 minutes. You've got to pull the strings on the emotions of 20,000 people. No props, no tricks, no charts, no special arrangement, no special lighting, no orchestra, nothing. Just you and 20,000 people. And one more thing, Dave. Not one of them came to see you.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's very true. No, that's very true. What was the year? Like how? Okay. Tell me just this one story, because I don't want to give it all away because I want people to check out the Zoom that's happening next Saturday. But when did you get the call that you were going to start touring with Frank? Like, how did that all come together?
Well, what happened was I was appearing at Caesars in Lake Tahoe with Smokey Robinson. Mm-hmm. Frank was appearing at Harrah's, which is two doors away. And I had worked Harrah's many times with Sammy Davis and with Mac Davis and Smokey and stuff like that. So I set up I called the Harrah's and I said, I'm going to come over and catch Frank's show tonight. So the maitre d' said, just rush right over. After my show, I rushed over, didn't even change out of my stage clothes. And I'm running into the showroom at Harrah's, and the vice president of Harrah's Hotel saw me, and he was talking to the heavyset guy with a cigar, and he called me over, and he said, hey, Tom, come over here. And I went over, and he said, Tom, this is Mickey Rudin, and I recognized the name. That was Frank Sinatra's lawyer.
Wow.
And he said, Mickey, this is Tom Dreesen, and I think Tom would make a great opening act for Frank Sinatra. And the lawyer got a pained expression on his face like he heard it a million times, and he said, hey, kid. If I gave you, and he winked at the vice president, but I caught the wink. He said, hey, kid, if I gave you a week with Frank, would you want more than $50,000? I said, Mr. Rudin, put it this way. If you gave me a week with Frank, would you want more than $50,000? And he started laughing, you know.
Yeah.
He said, I like this kid. And a week later, they called me and said, would you work 1 week with Frank Sinatra in Atlantic City at the Golden Nugget? And I thought, yeah, I'll try to get my picture taken and have it hung in every bar in Chicago. But on the second night, after doing the show, he and his wife, Barbara, took me out to dinner. And I remember like it was yesterday, he set his knife and his fork down, and he said to me, I like your material, and I like your style. I'd like you to do a few other dates with me if you're interested. And I didn't say, let me check my calendar. You know, I said,
yeah.
And it turned into almost 14 years, 45, 50 cities a year, and a friendship that I'll take to my grave. I miss him every day of my life. He truly was a major part of my life, and I'll never forget it.
And the show that you're doing on Zoom next Saturday will highlight just that. I mean, I've been to your performances before. We've been honored to, you know, I don't know if you know this, I chair the Museum of Broadcast Communications in town, and you did an event, a fundraiser for us some years ago.
Oh, yes.
You also did, when we launched Johnny Carson on Antenna TV, we did an event there where you were on stage with Doc Severinsen and told some great stories. But I've heard you do these stories before. And they're always, first of all, there's always new ones that you share that, you know, you shake it up a little bit. But it just puts you in a place where you feel like you're with you, Tommy, on the road with Frank. And I just find the stories just fabulous.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, this Saturday, May 9th, it's not this coming Saturday. Well, I don't know when you're airing this, so I shouldn't say it, but it's Saturday, May 9th at 5 p.m. L.A. It's 7 p.m. Chicago.
7 Central, yep.
Saturday, yeah, 7 Central. But what I'm doing, I'm answering the questions from Sinatra fans all around the country. People that have signed up for the show, and you can go to themanwhomadesinatralaugh.com. That's how you find out about the show, themanwhomadesinatralaugh.com. And I'm answering their questions, like you just did. How did you meet Frank? You stayed at Frank's home. What was that like? Flying in Frank's private jet, you know, one guy wrote in the other day, he wrote a question on the Man Who Made Sinatra Laugh page. He said, Frank dated some of the most beautiful women in Hollywood. Did he ever late at night, he said, be honest, did he ever late at night after a few Jack Daniels tell you which one he thought was the best lover? And I said, I'll answer that question May 9th.
Well, that's why, you know, we could talk for hours. So maybe what we'll do is we'll have you come back. And, you know, I'm so grateful that you're part of the Sinatra Hours, and we're going to get some great stories for the show coming up as well. But, you know, again, you know, for your 50 years doing this, I mean, the stories are just endless. And as I said, when I think about your career, Tom, it just has covered so many different categories and partners and people you perform with and just so many different phases. You just got to be excited every day to get up and do it again.
I do. Dave, I know this sounds corny, but this is the truth. I was a little boy, had eight brothers and sisters. We lived in a shack in Harvey. We had no bathtub, no shower, no hot water. Every night when I was 8 years old, I got my shoe shine box and I'd go all around the neighborhood taverns where I grew up at in Harvey. There were eight taverns in my neighborhood, and I would shine shoes to get money to help feed my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And Frank would be on those jukeboxes.
Yeah.
You know, to this day, no matter where I've been, no matter what I do, no matter what goes on in my life, if I close my eyes, I see a little boy with a shoe shine box in freezing weather going from tavern to tavern, trying to make money to help feed his brothers and sisters. I'm only a heartbeat away from that little kid. That's really who I think about. Whenever I was on a stage with Frank Sinatra, mm-hmm. in Frank Sinatra's home, or flying in his private jet, or wherever, you know, performing on Ellis Island, you know, all these things. If I close my eyes, I see a little boy with a shoeshine box going from tavern to tavern in Harvey.
That's very cool. Very cool. And you can get so many of these stories on Saturday, May 9th, 7 Central, via Zoom. For tickets, you can go to themanwhomadesinatralaugh.com, but you can also go to Tom's website, tomdreesen.com. There's some links for that as well. And, you know, get a little history and more biography on Tom. And you know what? This is the time where we're all sitting in our homes and we're all looking for some entertainment. Get dressed up. Grab some Jack Daniels, grab a cocktail, and sit down and watch Tom tell some fabulous stories. I'm looking forward to it, Tom.
Thank you so much. Order something neat from Gibson's. Order, get a glass
like
of
that.
Wine.
I like that, yeah. I like that. Order out from Gibson's, which I do, by the way, now and then, too. So I love that. And thanks for being a part of the Sinatra Hours, and I look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you, Dave. I'm looking forward to it, too. Anytime you want, just give me a call.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Take care.
Okay, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll remember comedy legend Don Rickles next on 720 WGN.